You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Oh, yeah. It's the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. Once again, I'm your host, John Rabin. Hi, everybody. This is episode 134. Damn. I hope if you're a sober person, if you're clean and sober, I hope you're staying sober. If you are not, I hope you are staying sane in these trying times that we're in. And this is going to be a week, so I'm not really going to... a perceived week, that's the thing, is, you know, the perception is that, you know, you've got armed dumbfuck hillbillies, like small groups of them will be protesting state capitals that don't have anybody in them, and coronavirus and all this stuff. So I'm actually going to focus on things that that I find confusing or irritating or interesting, and that I think will come off entertaining for all of you that that join me every week. I'm assuming so because you keep coming back like you're addicted to me. No judgments. Well, that you find, but I don't think it's an addiction. Although it would track that a lot of you have addictive personalities, and I fit right in there. But I think also because maybe you find me entertaining. That's what I'm gonna do. I don't know what else, because I didn't want to focus on anything like too serious. So this is the "You Deserve a Break Today" episode is what this is going to be. I don't know. Yeah, I posted this on Instagram and not many people have seen it yet. And that's fine. I thought I'd get a better reaction because it just was fucking mind blowing because there's these flyers up in my neighborhood. And we'll start with this. And it's the flyer has a picture of sketches in a sketchbook, which is appropriate because this is what the flyer says. I'll read it. Starting a sketchbook practice, travel, memory, attention. A live virtual evening class with artist Lauren Bocelli. And a sketchbook, and this is in quotes. I don't know who they're quoting. Quoted by Michael Rapaport. No, I don't know who the quote is, but it's a sketchbook is a wonderful way to engage in the world around you. Well, clearly that's not Michael Rapaport. If it was a Rapaport quote, it'd be like, a fucking sketchbook is a fucking wonderful way to engage in the goddamn fucking world around you. Anyway, it's not, I don't know who it's quoting. But the thing about it is that, so it's a, I guess it's a virtual evening class. So you sign up. And there's like Tuesdays in February. There's like four different Tuesdays. It's two hours each. And it's starting a sketchbook practice. And it's only $160. That's only $40 a class. That's only $20 an hour. If you'd like to save money, I have my own program. Here's how you do it. Step one, buy a notebook. Step two, draw in it. Step three, see step two. Now, I know there's more to it than with sketching than it's not just drawing. I get it. I know it's complicated, but the thing about it is this. This is mainly, I think, to appeal to people who are bored shitless staying at home. And as my wife, I told my wife about it and she's like, you know, hey, don't hate the hustle. You know, or you got to respect the hustle. That's what she said. And I went, all right. Yeah, I definitely respect the hustle. I'm like, can I mock the hustle? She goes, absolutely. So I'm mocking the hustle here. Like, get your money, but come on. I'm trying to appeal to people who are bored at home. I get it. And like, you know, and maybe there are a few people like, I think I would love to be able to just sketch anything in a book. The thing about it is that people feeling this way, like they're searching for something, like there's something that they got to get. They're either in their 30s, like they're at least in their 30s, right? 30s or higher. And the thing is that at once you're in your 30s, at this point, you can either draw or you can't draw. Right? You can't be taught to have a knack for sketching something. You either have it or you don't, right? Right? I just looked at my cat. She does not give a shit. So yeah, that's... Also, what is a sketchbook practice? I know what a law practice is. Is that it? Instead of a degree, you have pencils? How are you going to make money with... Look, this looks like the dog I own. Like, how are you going to make money with that? How is that a practice? Maybe it's just like a... It's a hobby. It's a pastime. What are you practicing for? The best sketch in town contest that comes in? I don't know. That's... What I'm getting at, though, my critique... For Lauren Bocelli, the artist who put these up, is they put them up in my neighborhood, which is nothing but apartment complexes. If you really want the money, you want the bored homeowners, don't you? Don't you put it up in neighborhoods that are rich and at least upper middle class, upper class? Like, those are the neighborhoods you want to put flyers in. You probably can't put flyers. They probably arrest you in those neighborhoods, but that's what you do. People in apartment complexes during a pandemic? Oh, yeah, I got that money. Look, I got paper. Ready to go, Lauren. It's just not it's a shitty hustle. That's what I'm getting at. Your hustle is shitty. I have this daily calendar from, it's the... The name of the daily calendar is Unfuck Yourself by Gary John Bishop. That's like a book series that he is. And he's, you know, I really enjoy him, you know, because he's Irish. Well, that's not why, but like it's so the accent and he's all like, you know, he tells it like it is. And so it's kind of annoying. It's a little annoying because he's really, you know, you know, I'm going to be real with you, like, too much, but of all the kind of motivation, his book on, his audio book is, you know, him reading it, so it's like, unfuck your life, like, that kind of shit, and it's great. So, even though it's a little eye-rolling, but, you know, I'm going to be real with you guys and tell you how it is, at some point, you go, oh, Jesus, but it's also, I also kind of find it motivating. Anyway, the calendar, today's calendar, which, you know, like one of them, you know, it was like this, the second one of the motivational daily calendar. And it's like one for the weekend, was like that thing you're pursuing won't fill the void. And I'm like, Jesus, Gary, it's perfect. I just love it. Anyway, today's was, stop complaining and stand for something great. And I was like, man, fuck you, Gary. I like complaining. Complaining makes me happy. That's also the thing, is that I wouldn't complain if I thought that it wasn't entertaining to people. Because I try to complain in a way that people they find it amusing. Either it's funny or they just find it amusing that I get fall irritated. Then, is he angry? No, he just likes to bitch about shit. It makes him happy. Look how happy he is hating things. if I got no pleasure of it, like if I was a miserable person and just walking around just everything is shit, I wouldn't complain. I'd figure out something else to do. But still, but it was very like specific. I'm like, is this for me? I don't know. Anyway, what was I going to? R.I.P. Phil Spector. He's finally dead. You may know him as a music producer. Also, he murdered the last Beatles album and a cocktail waitress, for which he went to prison, thankfully. But also, he murdered Let It Be. If you don't believe me, check out Let It Be Naked. Although that's kind of mixed. A lot of people don't like it because they got so used to the original. But I prefer it because it's organized way better. Paul McCartney did it in 2003. It's kind of remixed and it's like, let's take the Phil Spector shit out. And it's reordered. Like Get Back is the first track and Let It Be is the last track, like a fucking album. Not like, oh, we're going to throw in, you know, there's clips of John Lennon laughing and all this other stuff. Like, we're going to make it kind of loosey-goosey and weird. And I'm going to, like, wall of sound this shit because I'm Phil Spector. And everybody sit down. This gun's loaded. You know, that kind of... And it's just... what's funny is that the Let It Be is the worst Beatles album. But it's still better than 99.9% of all albums ever made. So it's like, when you say the worst, it's the least great, I guess. But Let It Be Naked. I've talked to anybody I've talked to about this. It is about 50-50. Anybody who's actually heard Let It Be, the Naked remix version, makes, you know, about half the people that I've talked to are all like, eh. And the other half are like, it's fucking great. So, you know, whatever. It's like anything else. I enjoy that version. I don't know what it is. I like Paul McCartney mixing his own version of his music, of The Long and Winding Road. Because I didn't like, for the longest time, I was like, more like The Long and Winding Song. Am I right? Nobody gave a shit about that joke. But like the remix version, I actually like. So anyway, rest in peace, the murderer who did some great shit with songs, especially in the 50s and 60s. There's a song called Pretty Little Angel Eyes that if you looked at the song, like he produced it where he brought in a doo-wop group. And the only good thing about that song is the doo-wop at the beginning and throughout, you know, Pretty Little Angel Eyes, like those guys singing. That's the only good part about it. Without that, all you got is just another vanilla, boring singer singing trite lyrics about, you know, in the middle that nobody knows the words to because they suck. You know, he did the... You know, he did the song that we used in our wedding, and then he kissed me song. You know, I mean, he, you know, it's complicated. It's like people can be murderers and talented. It is possible. You can recognize, you know, that guy's pretty good. Also, he's terrible with weapons and mentally unstable. Anyway, he's dead. you know what? I don't know when this happened. This is I don't know if I've even brought this up on the podcast before, but I thought it was kind of interesting that I don't remember. My wife had said some comment about heroin being my kryptonite. Well, you know, yep, that's your kryptonite. You know, but what that made me think of was more. I started thinking about the reverse. I started thinking about Superman. That what if, you know, kryptonite was his one weakness, right? But what if it was his weakness in the same way, like that if Lex Luthor wanted to beat Superman, you know, I'm going to defeat you, and he pulled out kryptonite, like, it made him weak in the fact that all of a sudden Superman would grab the kryptonite and start chopping it up into lines so that he could snort it. It's like, oh my God, I can't resist this. It's my one weak. Oh God, yeah. Yeah. You, get me more kryptonite. Superman, this is supposed to defeat you. You get me some more of this goddamn shit or I will rip your arms off. Okay, yeah, I'll be right back. Superman, Jesus Christ, I didn't realize this, that, do we have any more? We had to go to space for this. Well, go back to space! He's gonna fucking kill me! See how much he snorted in a second? God damn it, we should have gotten more. Now, 1 second, Supes. Go get some more now. I don't know. Thank you, that was my one-man play. Superman, no, and his weakness, kryptonite. Oh, shout out to the listener that contacted me to tell me that maybe, that made the suggestion that maybe last week's episode was I don't like anything new. And it said, yeah, that's welcome to becoming old. It's right, because old people don't. They don't like, and I get it that's the problem, but I think that the whole thing is that my sobriety has amplified that aspect of it. I don't think it's just me being old. I think that doesn't help. I think me getting older, it doesn't help the control issues. But I am getting old. Durr. No, I'm getting old. I don't know if this is related, but I think I like a lot of old dudes. I feel like I'm a really good driver. But I've always thought that. I've always felt that I was really a really good driver. Which whenever I tell people that, they're like, don't you have 3 DUIs? And I went, hey, listen to me. I'm a really good driver. When I'm sober, I'm really good. And actually, statistically speaking, when I used to drive drunk, I only fucked up a few times. That's what makes drunk driving so dangerous is that, like, if I did, you know, statistically speaking, if you took every time that I fucked up, that I was either arrested or, like, I fucked up my car, versus, like, and you did the math with, that's like 6 or 7 times. Let's round it up and do like 10. But then you do all the times that I actually drove drunk for like a decade and did the math, I've got a 99.9, like 92 or 93 success rate with driving. It's like my drunk driving success rate is still higher than the effectiveness of condoms. Do you get how that's, and I still, with that success rate, still wrecked 2 cars and was arrested for 3 DUIs, because that's how fucking dangerous drunk driving is. Anyway, but also how good at driving I am is my point. We're overlooking. Don't focus on the arrest. I've already paid for that. Jesus Christ, get off my back, someone who's not there. But this is where I was getting at. But I'm good at driving, and it's a fucking ego thing. It's totally an ego thing. All guys are like this. Not all guys are like this. A lot of us are. And because I've got such an ego about my driving, because I also drive slow now, which definitely annoys people, especially here in Texas, guys who have black trucks that are raised with the big ass fucking wheels. Every single one of those guys is an asshole who can't drive. They certainly can't drive at a reasonable speed. I don't know what it is. But they're complete douchebags and unsafe. That's not just a stereotype. That's true. I've never seen anybody with raised tires in a black truck signal. So I was driving home from off of the highway from down south of Austin, coming back home. And I turned turned left to get onto the frontage road to get onto the highway. And I'm going, and I got to get into one more lane, and then that enters into the highway. And I apparently cut somebody off, and this guy was just laying into his horn, but he like laid into it like too long. Like I waved at him like, sorry, but then he kept leaning on the horn. So then it was like, you know what? Fuck you. And it made me think about it. And I thought about it for too long because, you know, ego issues. But I thought about it like the rest of the day. I kept trying to figure out, like, I mean, that was my bad. Was it my bad? Where the fuck did he come from? Because I turned left onto the frontage road. I was first in line. There was nobody behind me. There's nobody close behind me. So how did he get here? Where did he come from? You know, and I was really thinking about it. And then it took till like the next day. So I'd been thinking about it on and off for 24 hours, which is a little long to be thinking about something that didn't happen. Like nothing bad happened other than it made somebody upset to where they had to lean on the horn for way longer than you need to signal. So I'm back there again, driving home from work. But because I'd been thinking about it, I looked to see where he could have possibly come from. And I figured it out. There's a couple of exits on the highway in Austin is called I-35. And there's a couple of exits on I-35 where you can exit off of the highway. So if there's a lot of traffic on 35, what some people will do is they will exit. They will take an exit to get on the frontage road and then stay in that lane and then stay in the lane as it leads back into I-35. And it's kind of like a shortcut. If the traffic is congested, it's like, I'm going to exit and then I'm going to get back on I-35 and I'll save one whole second of my time while eating way more gas. Cause I'm accelerating and doing stuff instead of keeping a consistently slower speed. So that's what this guy did. And that's why. So he exited I-35, did not slow down like you're supposed to, because the speed, if you're following rules, and I know a lot of you think, no, they're just suggestions, they're goddamn rules. And the rule is you slow down, you do not exit at 65 miles an hour and maintain 65 miles an hour on the frontage road to take the ramp at 65 miles an hour to get back on the highway. But that's what this guy did. He exited. And the thing is, he saw me. He was in my blind spot. And did not slow down. I signaled. So I hit the signal. Paused before I don't do like these people where they float and while halfway they're into the next lane, then they signal. I signal ahead of time. So what I'm getting at and why I took all this time just to say is this. I was right. Or at least I was not completely to blame for that. That guy was doing the wrong thing. He was trying to be aggressive and take a shortcut and wasn't obeying traffic laws, and then he has the balls to honk at me like I don't know what I'm doing. Fuck him. What I'm getting at is fuck that guy and his long honking ass. That's what I'm getting at. I know what I'm doing. There's at no point should he have been in my blind spot. Nobody should have been there like that. That's not, I know this is, you're like, I don't think that's actually true, John. I think you do have some responsibility to look over your left shoulder. I know what you're saying. But for the sake of peace of mind, and because this is my podcast, I get to say that I was right, fuck that guy. And you know what? None of this would have happened if he just would have gone, watch it. But no, he had to lean on that horn like a dick. And so I had to figure out why he was really to blame and it's not me. I would take responsibility normally, but not when it's an asshole that's involved. No. It's on him. That's what I'm saying. Right? High five, kitty. She's still asleep. She's not paying attention. All right. Anyway, there you go. This is the episode I wanted to do today. To give you something to go, Jesus, this guy. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you have a good week. I hope this was a good distraction. Don't get too stressed out. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your friends and your family. And, you know, we'll see you next week. This has been the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Raven, you guys. Later. Right before the piercing skin, come back down to earth again. The cold is creeping deep inside. Disconnect the telephone.